The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Tuesday's racing on this edition, and you'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 12:10 PM. It'll be Sean Quinn, Will Smith and Gareth Topham in the studio for the meetings at Leicester, Southwell and Wetherby. So three meetings to look forward to. You'll hear all of that live. But right now though, we're going to look ahead to the action. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is Mr. Ross Brierley. How are you, Ross?
I'm very well, thank you, Mark Walton. Yes. I'm very well.
Good.
So I'd leave that to be musically satisfying.
Yes.
I think that's the correct term. that is very musically satisfying.
We're also going to do the Monday jury, as well as looking ahead to Tuesday's racing. So a nice little reflection on the weekend and the Cheltenham Festival, even though it's still 8 weeks away.
But yes, that's well, it'd be rude not to, wouldn't it?
It would, yes. Yeah, so the Monday jury this week. The first question is, how much are you warming to Saïd Agrouji's prospects of defeating Sprinter Sakura?
How do you quantify that? How much? 80%. I don't know. I am, well, significantly more than before the weekend, obviously. I think you'd be silly not to, really. He's there's always a slight concern that a horse of his nature has been flattered or, in terms of a division whereby one horse is superior to the rest, mm-hmm. you often wonder exactly how good the level is underneath. It's like when Frankel was racing, it's like how good was Acceleration, how good was St. Nicholas Abbey, horses he beat in these kind of events. And it turned out they're actually very good, so sometimes it's quite hard to know. They're running to the very maximum. And Saïd Agrouji clearly is a very talented horse. I mean, he's won 6 of his last 7 races, and the one where he did get beat at Cheltenham, things didn't go to plan at all. And I think he's the only horse who can beat him, but he shouldn't do if Sprinter Sakura is at his very best. But that's a question mark, isn't it? Sprinter Sakura is becoming rather an enigma at the moment.
Mm. If Sprinter Sakura turns up at his best, there's nothing can beat him, is there? But if he turns up 80%, then Saïd Agrouji will give him a big race.
Well, yeah, and it's, you know, like I said, it's not a, I don't know what an ideal prep is for a race of this nature when you're that good. I suppose it's like, you know, it's Usain Bolt. What's his ideal prep in comparison to everyone else just turning up?
Yeah. Well, apparently for the Beijing Olympics, it was chicken nuggets.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, is it just anything? Is it a bag of chocolate and a can of Coke? Yeah, I'm ready, lads. Yeah, let's go.
Yeah.
Yeah. I hope they both turn up at the tip-top form, because he's the only horse who can beat him. He shouldn't do, but he can.
Okay. How do you rate Melodic Rendezvous, his champion aspirations after the weekend?
I think he's got absolutely no chance unless
it pours down the road.
It down.
Yeah.
He's clearly a horse who absolutely gobbles up soft ground. And I actually backed him at the weekend, and all the way down the straight, I thought, things are going absolutely perfect for him. Even when he made that little peck at the second last, you knew that his cruising speed was still intact. And all his best form is on soft ground. So if it's not soft ground, he's got no chance. It's quite simple, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem is, I don't think it'll be soft ground, or certainly not as soft as he wants. It's not going to be deep midwinter ground. I think he's best off waiting for Punchestown, really.
Yeah.
I think he'll get conditions to suit there more likely than he will at Cheltenham. That's not to say that you shouldn't go for Cheltenham and Punchestown, because there's plenty of space in between the two. I think he's worth a go, but I don't think he'll win unless it's very soft. But if he went to Punchestown, he probably would get those conditions based on the last couple of years.
Okay, that's fair enough. Who else caught your eye on Saturday with regards to Cheltenham?
I thought it was a really good day on Saturday. I really enjoyed the racing, actually, which is, you know, for a day full of jumps racing, he's often quite it's a mixed bag, isn't it? But I thought literally every race at Ascot, everywhere, had some sort of interest. But the one that probably attracted me the most was Champagne West, who won the novice hurdle at Ascot over 2 miles 6 furlongs on heavy ground, which means he's bound to be probably an Albert Bartlett horse, if not maybe a Neptune, because he does have an incredible cruising speed. I mean, he's quite a keen goer. He didn't jump as well as he has done last time at Ascot. He made a couple of niggly mistakes, but then that's because he was held up. He was, in previous races, he's been quite prominent, and he beat a very good yardstick in the shape of Knockout. So I thought he was wildly impressive. I don't think the Albert Bartlett and the Neptune are races would necessarily have anti-post betting on, so that's, he might be in them, I don't know. But he would be the one that was maybe just a slightly bit under the radar in terms of potential Cheltenham prospects. Because a lot of horses that won at the weekend won in good style because I think they just relish the ground more than others. Melodic Rendezvous would be the highest profile example. However, Champagne West doesn't seem to need it that deep, although he handles it. So yeah, I was impressed with him.
Okay. The next question is a nice easy one. It's who do you fancy for Estes Chase at Goran Park on Thursday?
Yeah, who do you fancy for a massive 34 runner handicap chase 4 days before? God knows. quite frankly, I mean, Los Amigos would have a great chance. He's clearly on the upgrade and he's clearly been kept for this, you know, given a prep over hurdles last time out at Thurles. So clearly this is the option. Playing has always been an attractive sort. He's somehow improved his form no end on his last two chase starts, so he'd have a little bit of a squeak, I suppose. But I'm still going to stick with Panther Claw, I think, who I actually quite fancied to run well at Leopardstown over Christmas, but just things just didn't go to plan that day. I don't really know what happened, but I still think if he runs anywhere near his form last season, then he'd have a little bit of a chance. And he was third in this last year off a £5 lower mark, so I think he'd have a squeak of hitting the frame again.
Okay, yeah, I like it. Panther Claw then in the Estes. And who'd you like for Doncaster's Skybet Chase? As easy.
Thursday wasn't far enough ahead. How about Saturday? I quite like Caught by Surprise, but I think he'd be quite a popular runner if he turns up. I mean, the MLFL team aren't exactly in tip-top form. They're running okay. But he goes very well at the track. He won here last year, beat Knight in Milan, who'll probably reoppose in a driving finish. He then disappointed in the Grimthorpe. So that was a few months later, and I don't know, he just wasn't the same horse that day. But his last three runs at Chepstow, Wincanton and Sandown would all give him very strong claims if he could transfer that back to here, and I don't see any reason why he shouldn't do, as he loves the track. I mean, Sam Winner and Union East, obviously Paul Nichols had a good weekend. They're going to have good, strong chances as well, if they turn up. And Vintage Star ran a good race at Haydock the other day, but I very much doubt he'll turn up after that. It was a right old slog, so I can't see him going for the same kind of... I can't see him coming back for more a week later. Or at least I wouldn't want to. I quite like a rest with my feet up. Caught by Surprise if he turns up.
Okay. The final question in this week's Monday Jory then is, it's looking forward to a great racing prospect this Sunday. Do you expect Hurricane Fly to be our Connor and Jeske in the Irish Champion Hurdle?
Yes.
Right, and that's the Monday joke.
Well, yeah, I do, yeah. I think he'll beat them again, and then he'll get beat potentially at Cheltenham, but...
Who beats him at Cheltenham?
Oh, I don't know. Ah. I just think he's... Around Leopardstown and Punchestown, I just think he's incredible. Cheltenham, he's not... He really has to run to his very optimum.
Yeah.
Whereas I don't think he necessarily has to do that over in Ireland. I would have Jeske is his main danger again. I think Jeske's got a much... I think Cheltenham will suit Jeske a lot more. Okay. Yes is the answer.
Yeah.
Si, senor.
Well, I know it's not the question, but do you expect Jeske and O'Connor to be closer this time to give him more of a race? Because Jeske was a bit unlucky in running, wasn't he? And O'Connor, that was his first run over hurdles since he won the Triumph, wasn't it? So.
Well, it depends what the race is. Because it was a silly race, really, because there was no pace early on. And then Mark Walsh on Captain CB said, right, I'm going to make this a pace.
Yeah, and he went off.
And then he went off far too quick.
Yeah.
And basically had a race to himself, so there was still no pace. So it was a bit of a hack around, wasn't it? So I don't know. It depends. It completely... you won't know until after 2-3 furlongs, I think. I think Jeske and O'Connor will be better with a test, although a test doesn't necessarily inconvenience or it can fly. It just drags their chances up a little bit, which still might not be quite good enough.
Yeah, that's fair enough. Right, that's the Monday Jory for another week. Anything else in the news stories screaming out to you, Ross? Or
no, not really.
Just move on to Tuesday's action?
No. No. I mean, like I said, it was a good weekend. I enjoyed the weekend's racing, but nothing Nothing really grabbed me by the lugs.
Okay. I wondered what you was going to say then. Right, Tuesday's racing then. Ross has picked out three races at Southwell, the first of which is the 130. And we start here with a Class 6 seller.
Yeah.
Of seven furlongs with five of them in the lineup, and Basingstoke off top weight here and should hold leading claims, of course he likes.
Yeah, I think he'll win. Quite simply, he, I don't know if he's had problems. He must have. He can't be the easiest horse to train, as he's been sort of in and out. He showed a glimmer of form last year when he was with Andrew Balding, and then he's gone to Keith Dalglish. He was well backed on his debut, and he didn't show up. He then had a couple of months off and went to Newcastle and ran a shocker, and then he came back after sort of 8 months, and he went 25-1 at Sutherland the other day in a remarkable time, in remarkable fashion, all the way down the far side rail. Beat three significantly stronger fancied horses who all had leading claims. I thought it was an excellent run, to be fair. His main market rival here is Tartan Trip, who's drawn in box one, which is never an advantage round here. He's gone to Michael Appleby, which is obviously a bonus. And since he's joined the Appleby team, he's been in his in tip-top form. But I still think he has a bit to find with Basingstoke. And the other three, well, start running now, I think.
Fair enough, yeah. It's very much a match, isn't it?
Mm.
One of the more obvious matches.
Yeah, and I think Basingstoke would be the pick.
The next race we're going to look at is the 205, which is a Class 6 handicap over a mile. And Ivy Port has hit the crossbar at Southwell on its last two outings. Where's the cheek pieces for the first time? Do you think that will see him nudge home in front?
I think she'll probably be a bit short.
In fact, yes, hold on.
Yeah, that's okay. I know you get these things confused. Usually at the weekend. She's been in good form. She still only won one race here, though, and that was a handicap of a mark of 50 last season, where admittedly she bolted up. But she still hasn't got a head in front. Yes, she still keeps getting back. She's been a beaten favourite on her last three runs. And the form is good. I mean, she got beat by Frostfire last time out, who's come out and won since. Emperor Trees, who finished fourth, also frank the form. Dance for Georgie, who finished sixth. It is good form, but she just keeps going off too short and keeps getting beat. So I don't see why you would back her again, even though this is an easier race. Flying Giants of interest, looked all over the winner last time out. We're maybe just getting a bit tired and getting past on the run-in. Elal's an interesting alternative on the Farbisan for the first time. Baylath Cleath, or there's probably a much better way of saying that, actually showed a glimmer at Wolverhampton back in November. But I'm tired, I think, is the one for me. Mainly because I am. And also because it finished second to Emperor Trees last time out in a good figure. Again, based on a line through Emperor Trees, it probably does have a bit to find with Ivy Port. But he runs the track really well. He wants a good, strong pace. I think he'll get it, especially with Elal in the betting as well. And, he'd be the each-way angle.
Okay. Nice one. I'm tired then, each-way. In that race, and on to the third race we're going to look at, which is the 3:15 at Southwell. This is a Class 2 handicap over five furlongs, much more competitive and much higher quality in this one.
Oh, it's an absolute corker, isn't it?
Mm.
Prohibit.
Yeah.
Prohibit is running. We've got a Group 1 winner at Suffolk.
Blimey.
What a world. I always said I wanted to see Group 1 horses at Suffolk. I just prefer it, you know, when they're on the upgrade, but still,
right?
You can't be beggars, can't be choosers. It's an absolute corker. Look at it. I don't know where to start. I'm so excited. Bedloe's Island did really well to win last time out. Poked his nose through a gap that practically wasn't there, and won in a bit of a blanket finish. Equitania was in that race as well. Got chinned on the line by Bedloe's Island. Alban Starr's an absolute cracking horse as well. He's a fascinating recruit to the Fibersand. He's never raced here, but he's a genuine 90-95 performer on turf and on poly track, so no reason why you wouldn't take to the surface. Giroft finished third here last time out. Woolfall Sovereign's got back class here. Willet's been running some cracking races. He was in Maidan this time last year, running off marks in the mid-hundreds. Not the mid-hundreds, he's not 150 horse, crikey. That'd be... yeah.
That's quite a performer.
Yeah, he's the greatest horse of all time. I can't remember. but I think it'd be between Silken Express and Even Stevens again, and I'm likely to side with Silken Express to turn the form around. Last time out when they met, Even Stevens in box three, Silken Express was in eight, and I just think that near side rail is just a slight disadvantage over five furlongs. Even Stevens won that off a mark of 89 and is now up to 97, Whereas Silken Express remains on a mark of 89. So with Silken Express having a better draw and a fair old weight swing, I think there's a possibility that the form will be turned around.
Okay, Silken Express into reverse form in the 3:15. Let's just have a nice little summary, if you don't mind, Ross, spinning us through your selections one more time.
Yeah, we'll go for Basingstoke in the 1:30, Amtide in the 2:05, and a bit of Silken Express in the 3:15.
Very good. Nice one. Thank you very much, Ross. Enjoy it on Tuesday.
You too.
So there you go. The thoughts of Ross Briley on Tuesday's racing. You'll hear it all on Racing Radio, of course, from 12:10 p.m. on Tuesday. Sean Quinn, Will Smith and Gareth Toppin will be your team in the studio. We have this meeting at Southwell, as well as jumping from Leicester and Weatherby. So three meetings to look forward to. Tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast, and enjoy Tuesday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.